Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation. It's found in the top of your bulletin. Would you please take the register and pass it down the pew so that the folks that are here can register their attendance and those who are visiting can be noted so that we can go and visit them. There are a lot of announcements. As you know, this is our last Sunday in January, and starting tomorrow, there's a kickoff for so many of the activities and organizations in the church for their early meetings. Please check your bulletin for important things that are going on in the church. And I also want to highlight a couple of things that are in the bulletin. First, I want to say that those of you who were unable to come Wednesday night to Hot Wednesdays missed a truly powerful and meaningful prayer experience. And you have another opportunity this coming Wednesday to enjoy Hot Wednesdays. This week we will be beginning our studies. There will be two different studies, and I call them to your attention. I highly recommend them both. I think that you will find them very beneficial. So do check that out in your bulletin and make arrangements to come. One of the items in the newsletter that I want to call to your attention is that the circles will begin their monthly meetings starting tomorrow. So that was in the newsletter. Check your schedule, and if you're uncertain and you're not a member of one of the circles, call the church office and find one that's convenient for your time so that you can join us. Also this week is the beginning of the children's sale for clothing for the consignment that Mud Pies is doing. They have a semi-annual consignment sale of children's clothing. That will begin this Friday at 6 o'clock in the Asbury Gym. You can check for the schedule. Health kits for Haiti. There's an item listing the things that need to go in the little kit that's not expensive, but it can make a really big difference for the folks in Haiti. I urge you to get a kit together and get it up here before tomorrow's out. Also outside the fellowship hall is a food buggy for foodstuffs to be put in it for our food bank. In addition, the AARP will begin tomorrow with their free tax assistance and preparation. They will be meeting in the Susanna Wesley building and varying schedules for different times during the day. So check that schedule. Now, let us center our hearts and minds as we continue our worship.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship. Come, people of God, to the one in whom we trust. Praise God who delivers and rescues us. God is our rock and refuge, our strong fortress. God saves us amid wickedness and cruelty. Hope in God who has created you. Open yourself to the one who knows you well. God accepts us even when people do not. God affirms us even when we fail. Our God gives us tasks to do and strength to do them. God's word of love is ours to proclaim. We have come to embrace the mysteries of our faith. We are here to worship the God who empowers us.
Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in our invocation. God of love, in whose name we have been consecrated for discipleship and service, encounter us in this hour, that we may grow in knowledge and actions. Disturb our certainties, so we will be open to new insights. Upset our priorities, to make room for faith, hope, and love. Expand our horizons to encompass ideas we have not entertained before. Open our hearts to people we have failed to welcome into our midst. Perfect among us that childlike trust that allows change to transform us in the presence of your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from the first chapter of Jeremiah, verses 4 through 10. You can find this on page 854 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. This passage describes Jeremiah's call to be a prophet of God, Jeremiah's objections, and God's reassurance. Listen now to God's word for us. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Today's epistle reading and the text for today's sermon is the very familiar 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. This chapter is found on page 212 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Paul describes agape love, love that is patient, kind, self-giving, generous, and encouraging, the kind of love that God shows to humankind. He instructs the faith community to exhibit the same type of love toward each other. Listen again for God's word to us. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we come to our time of prayer, I'd like to lift up a few names in a special way. Dot Turnley, the family of Ruth Garvey, whose memorial service is tomorrow at Wesley Commons, 11 a.m. Jimmy Wade, Randy Wolf, Ray Woodward, Jay Pendergrass, Mark Calfee, Frank Rice, our Honduras mission team as they return, the Haiti relief effort, and Matthew Yokel. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, guide now our church into a new sense of what it means to be crucified for the world, to stop thinking about ourselves and think instead about our neighbors, to stop trying to be great through having and learn about being great through serving. Lord, stir our imaginations to see the world as the prophets saw and the world as Jesus saw, and let us recommit ourselves to that world in this present age, not a world of hurry and bustle and make do and get by, but a world of slowing down and listening and caring and sharing and celebrating our faith, revealing the love of Christ, embracing those we meet. Lift the burdens of those whose hearts are heavy, those who come hungry seeking help, those who come empty seeking companionship, those who come broken seeking healing and wholeness, those who come guilty and bitter and seeking forgiveness and peace. Guide the lost back to your path. Touch with healing those who need it most, and help us to rejoice in your word today, your good news, your presence, and the privilege of worship in this special place, in this hour. For we hope, through song and through word and proclamation and prayer, to encounter your Son, the living Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Thank you. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Would you thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause? We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Okay. That's a pretty good crowd for such a cold day. It is pretty cold today, isn't it? Yeah. My outside dog this morning was kind of poseable. I want y'all to stand up. Something's going to happen this morning. Moms and dads can stay down, but I want kids to stand up because you're going to need to see something. You're not even going to believe this. You guys are going to do something, and you're going to make a huge impact. They're going to remember this for the rest of their lives, but it all depends on you doing exactly what I say with utter integrity and with honesty and fearlessly. I'd like you and the choir to stand. Stand first, get your balance, and then I'm going to tell you to do something. They're going to see this, and they're going to remember this for the rest of their lives. Are y'all ready? And I look at the choir and look here. You're about to see something. I want you to close your eyes. Nobody peek. Close your eyes right now. Everybody point due north. Point north. Come on, point north. Now look at everybody. Now I want you to look. No. Kids, you look. Everybody's pointing north. Now everybody's pointing north. North is just one direction. How many directions do you see out there? Look, you see how people are pointing in lots and lots and lots of different directions. Okay, sit back down. I think they get the point. Now, did you see that? Did you see? Which way is north? Could you tell? Well, you think that way. You might be close to right, but... Did you notice that there were a whole bunch of different directions they were pointing? Did you notice that? But there's only one north. If we had a compass, it would point just one direction, and another compass, it would point the same direction, and a GPS, the same direction. Wow. How do you find out where north is? Here's the lesson from all that. And thank you for... I didn't tell them to practice that. That's just what... Here's the lesson. If you want to know how God wants us to live, we in the Christian church believe that there's one place you can look and one direction you can go to understand how God wants us to live. Where would that be? Well, who would we follow to be doing God's will? To be going in the direction that God wants us to go in. Who would we follow?
Jesus.
That's right. Jesus. Whenever the preacher asks a question at the children's sermon, the answer is probably Jesus. And it is again. The way God wants us to live, the direction God wants us to go in. When Jesus invited his disciples to come with him, he said, follow me. So Jesus is out front. He's going in the direction of God's will, and we are to follow Jesus. He was loving. He was forgiving. He was compassionate. He was filled with grace and the goodness of God. And so lots of folks will tell you a lot of places and a lot of ways you should go. We are those people who follow in the direction that Jesus has gone before. Let us pray. I'll do the prayer part and y'all just say amen at the end. I got a preemptive amen before I started. Don't y'all do that. Lord, we do thank you for the example and the direction of life that you would have us follow, the direction you've given us in Jesus Christ. And we do thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can and so that we will be as loving and forgiving and as full of grace as your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And write down before you forget who to ask for directions and who not to ask. Let us cautiously, in the season of cold and flus, as it has been all year, pass the peace. Affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 21. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up and drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My title is Tired of Talk. And I'm going to be focusing in a way off of 1 Corinthians 13, which is a scripture that you've probably heard almost exclusively in churches at weddings. But there's so much more to it than weddings and the relationship between a husband and a wife. We very often talk about God's amazing grace, and we should, but we don't really define grace very often. Grace means those generous gifts that God has given us, the gift of life, the gift of His love, the gift of His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the gift of forgiveness and acceptance in spite of our sins. You know, we get from God so much, and God gives to us so much, that we kind of get used to getting. Well, today's sermon is it's about how comfortable we are with getting from God and how often we are forgetful that God expects at least a few things out of us. Now, I have a story about a man who got real comfortable with getting. And it's one of my favorites. I think you may be telling it over lunch. I hope so. Two friends met in the street. One looked sad. I mean, he almost was on the verge of tears. And the other man said, "Hey, friend, how come you look like your whole world is caved in?" Well, the sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, an uncle of mine died and left me $50,000. Well, the friend said, "Hey, that's nothing to be sad about. That's not bad." He said, "Hold on, I'm just getting started. 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I never really knew kicked the bucket and left me $95,000 tax-free." The friend, puzzled, said, "Well, that's great. Why? I don't understand why you're sad." And he said, "Well, hold on. Last week, my grandfather passed away and I inherited almost $1 million. The friend couldn't stand it anymore and he said, "Well, but why are you sad?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you. This week, nothing. Week after week, and day after day, and even eternally into the future, we get from God. We get unexpected grace upon grace from God, and we talk about it, and we sing about it, and we pray about God's love. And all of these gifts come out of the loving heart of God. How would it be if we just accepted and received and came to expect more and more and more gifts of God's love and more forgiveness and more grace, and never once, I mean not even once, did we reflect any of that love to anybody else? How would it be? Do you think that is what God had in mind That's certainly not what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote 1 Corinthians 13. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, Paul said, all of our worship, all of our singing, even if we had prophetic powers and faith to move mountains, and even if we gave all of our money away, not just some, but all of it, or if we died a martyr's death, giving our body up to be burned because of our faith. But if we didn't echo, if we did all of that and we didn't echo any of God's love that has been sent our way, if we did all of the above, but echo no love out to another person, Paul says, it amounts to nothing. In fact, we in our whole lives, as I read it, would amount to nothing unless we live out some of the love that God has been sending our way since the day we were born. True story. A veteran of 40 years as a Christian medical missionary died. And in his billfold, they found a well-worn copy of the following little essay on love. It's a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13. He carried this with him for 40 years. If I have mastered the language ever so perfectly and speak like a pundit, but have not the love that grips the heart, I am nothing. If I have decorations and diplomas and academic honors but have not the touch of understanding love, I am nothing. If I have great ideals and magnificent plans and wonderful visions but have not the love that sweats and bleeds and weeps and prays and pleads, I am nothing. If I leave home and friends and comfort and surrender my body to be consumed in the heat and the sweat and the mildew of India, but have not the love that knows empathy or mercy or forgiveness, I am nothing. If I can heal all manner of sickness and disease, but wound hearts and hurt feelings for lack of love that is kind, I am nothing. If I write books and publish learned articles but fail to transcribe the word of the cross into the language of love, I am nothing. And finally, if I am offering my gift at the altar and there remember that a brother or sister has something against me but do not love enough to seek reconciliation and peace with my estranged brother or sister, I am nothing. Nothing. Now, God's amazing grace is really something. And because of Jesus Christ, we are able to live lives that are really something that matters. We can matter. And it's not just political power, it's not wealth, it's not fame, it's not possessions or beauty. What it is love. And if somebody loves you, on a personal level, you know if you are accepted and loved no matter what, that matters more than all the fleeting fame and all the temporary power and all the numbers and all the bank accounts you have put together. On your deathbed, you will not run over the columns of investments. On your deathbed, you will not recount the degrees and the awards. On your deathbed, you will grasp to the memories and the warmth of those you know in your heart of hearts loved you. You mattered to someone. And the gospel says you matter to God. You matter as much as the cross. And God, as I read the Apostle Paul, God is saying, God wants you to pass that kind of love, that kind of grace, freely given, on to others. And if you don't, if you stop short of that, no matter what you accomplish, you have failed. Now that's a strong statement, but that is what I believe the Apostle Paul is saying. You did not do what God had in mind for your life. God's gifts to you were never supposed to be every day, just for you and stop there. God's love in Jesus Christ was meant to pass on. And if you don't, you fail. Now, I'm not talking about salvation pass fail. I'm talking about living out the love that you have been given. That's the life that God would have us lead.
Another story. This one not so funny. A university professor tells the story of a time when he had an extended visit, a series of meetings in a city in India. And he said every morning he got up and he looked out the window of his hotel and he saw a man sitting by the river. Every night when he returned, he saw the same man out the same window sitting in the same place by the window. And finally, after about 5-6 days of this, just to satisfy his curiosity, he walked down the riverbank and he spoke to the man. And he asked, "Why do you do nothing but sit by the river here every day?" And the man replied, "Sir, because I believe in reincarnation. And according to this belief, if we have lived, we have lived many times before, and we will live many times again." And then he added, "This life, I'm sitting this one out." The Lord Jesus does not offer us the luxury of sitting this one out. This is the one we get in our belief. The one we get. And he invites us to choose life and to choose new life as we follow after him in a particular direction. The life that was lived before us in Jesus Christ was one in which love, even as much as the cross, love was lived to the fullest. In Jesus we saw love. Even though the recipients of the love did not appreciate it or understand it, Jesus still loved them. And even though we don't always appreciate it or understand it, Jesus still loves us. Jesus loved us in spite of rejection, in spite of humiliation and false accusations and arrest and execution. It was his Father's will that he love us to the end. And he did until he said, "It is finished." Now you and I have been given life. And by God's grace, new life. And we know from Jesus Christ what a life lived in God's will looks like. We know because Jesus has given us grace upon grace. And we are gifted with love and forgiveness and eternal hope. And more than enough just for us. Enough to share. And our life is not finished. Our life is not yet well done, my good and faithful servant. Until we make the connection between what God has done for us and what God expects from us as we live out our faith before others. To use that power of the Holy Spirit, not just for comfort, but for direction and for courage and for reaching out and sharing with others that same love and grace we have been given. God's love. Indeed, God's gifts of talent and wealth and ability and wisdom. None of these things were meant to come to a dead stop with us. They are for God's use. For God's use in continuing Jesus' continuing ministry of love and grace. All we are and all we have is for God's use. And if we do not use them in that way, 1 Corinthians seems to say to me, we have failed. Our lives have amounted to nothing. We are sitting out this life as if nothing matters. Killing time, killing opportunities, killing possibilities God had in mind for us to live out. Creation. Creation was the self-expression of a gracious God who is love. And apart from love, I think that life is absurd and meaningless. As the Apostle Paul tells us as strongly as he can, if you have not love, you are nothing. We spin our wheels too often, scheming and dreaming and spotlighting ourselves. But God has something simpler in mind. Love one another as I have loved you. And love your neighbor. And what does love of neighbor look like? Well, Jesus told a story about that. He said a certain man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and was attacked by bandits and beaten and stripped and left naked and bleeding in the ditch. And a Levite passed by and did nothing. And a priest passed by and did nothing. And then a Samaritan passed by, considered racially impure and religiously impure. But he stopped and he had compassion and he tended to the wounds and took care of his needs. And Jesus asked, which one of these three proved to be neighbor to the man in need? And they all had to say, well, the Samaritan. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. The priest and the Levite, having the words of faith, but not the compassion and the heart of faith, did nothing. They sat that one out. You and I, we are the church. But if we have not love, we are nothing. If we have the finest building, the most complete hymnal, the most expensive organ, the most beautiful voices, glorious choir, richest treasury in the world, but have not love, we are spiritually dead. It has been said of today's Christians that too many people have just enough faith to feel uncomfortable doing wrong, but not enough faith to feel comfortable in a compulsion doing right. It has also been said that too many of us have been inoculated with a mild form of Christianity, just enough to make us immune to the real thing, which changes our lives. In other words, too many of us don't take our faith seriously enough for it to be a part of and to affect our decisions day to day. We'll gladly accept gifts from God, but God has explicitly sent us out to others in need, whether it be physical or spiritual or emotional, and we are called to help and to witness to our faith as we meet those needs. Too many of us don't put our religious beliefs into practice on the giving end, on the love others end. We talk, we take, we scheme and we dream and we point the spotlight at ourselves. But is that what God had in mind? The church of Jesus runs on God's Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of love beyond measure. We are the church, therefore we must love God and love one another and even love those who do not love us back. Someone has said that the world is a kind of spiritual kindergarten where millions of bewildered infants are trying to spell God with the wrong blocks. Jesus spelled out God in the flesh. God is love. God is light in whom there is no darkness at all. And we are called and empowered to share God's love and light in the darkness of this world, in the darkness of other people's lives. You have seen it done in Jesus, and you've been empowered to do it by the Holy Spirit. Make something out of your life, more than talk, more than getting. Give your love away. The abundance of what God has given you, give it away in Jesus' name. Someone is waiting. Someone is waiting. Amen. Receive this blessing, this benediction. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And be blessed with the comfort and the guidance and the courage of the Holy Spirit even in this moment. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.